in the West, we have a tendency to see Christianity as Protestants and Catholics. Or as they would say in my neck of the woods, Protestants, Catholics, and just plain old Christians. But when a Westerner such as myself converts to Catholicism, their eyes are open to a whole new perspective. We are exposed to things that we were never exposed to before, things we never knew existed. One of the more exciting things we are shown is the Eastern Orthodox Church. I would say most converts to Catholicism, in fact, most Catholics in general, become a little fascinated with the Eastern Orthodox at some point. To a Westerner who is used to the criticisms of Protestants about the Catholic Church, the existence of the Eastern Orthodox Church actually gives a reassurance of the validity of Catholicism. They have a lot of the same beliefs, the same structure. The worship service is, generally speaking, the same. They have priests, bishops, monks, and nuns. They confess their sins to a priest. They pray to saints and venerate the Virgin Mary. Yet, oddly enough, they are not part of the Catholic Church, or I should say they are no longer part of the Catholic Church, or the two churches are no longer together. This is called schism, where a part of the one true church breaks away, usually with a geographical component, from the original church. This is different from the Protestant Revolution, where individual people left that church and started new ones. The Orthodox Church and the Orthodox-like churches such as the Coptic Church are not new churches. They are part of the original church founded by Christ. Their bishops are real bishops, their priests are real priests, and their Eucharist is valid, as are all the sacraments in those churches. And of course, we learn this separation was not always the case. The Catholic Church and Orthodox Church have only been apart for less than 1,000 years. Which means, for the first millennium of Christianity's existence, we were all one big happy church. Well, one church anyway. So what happened? Why did the church split into two, the Orthodox in the East and the Roman Catholics in the West? Who's right? Who remains the original church while the other is guilty of schism? This is not an easy question to answer, but having looked into this question over several years, I believe the truth is the Roman Catholic Church remains the one true church, and it is the Eastern Orthodox that are in schism. And I'll tell you why I believe this. Now, I can spend a lot of time talking about the split of the Roman Empire and collapse of the Western half, the Filioque, the Crusades, cultural differences, and we will touch on those. But the reality is it all boils down to one issue, the authority of the Bishop of Rome, the Pope. Does the Pope have overall authority in the church, or doesn't he? Now, this is also at the core of the Protestant Reformation. In fact, all Christians worldwide who are separated from the Catholic Church are separated over this one issue. From the Protestants to Orthodox, even the Sede Vacantists, it all boils down to a refusal to submit themselves to the Roman Pontiff. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this video proving that the Pope indeed has this authority. I have several videos on my channel where I lay that out. And I don't have to go there to show that it is the Orthodox who are in schism. There's one aspect of this issue that in my mind proves it. And no, it's not the mutual excommunications that happened in 1054. That's not where the definitive split happened. It's an arbitrary date that's convenient for historians. But we'll talk about that more a little bit later. But first, I want to do a little background. Now, I'm not going to do this part justice. There are a lot of factors involved, and I can't cover all of them in a 15-minute video. I've chosen a few points that I think are relevant, and I will give a brief summary. After Constantine united the empire and legalized Christianity, it split into two halves after his death, the Eastern and Western empires. The Western half fell roughly 200 years later, but the empire remained for another 1,000 years in the East. We call this the Byzantine Empire, but they didn't. Again, this is just a convenience for historians. As far as anyone in the empire was concerned, it was the Roman Empire, and the West recognized the emperor as the legitimate emperor of the Roman Empire, even paid him tribute. However, over the centuries, the two would grow apart culturally. Because of Muslim influence in the East, the emperor imposed a ban on religious imagery, statues, relics, and icons of all kind. The emperor ordered the pope and the West to comply. The pope refused, saying that the emperor had no such authority. After this heresy was condemned at the Second Council of Nicaea in 787, the pope crowned Charlemagne Holy Roman Emperor at the Christmas Mass in 800 AD, sending a message to the Byzantine emperor, "You are not the emperor of the West anymore, Charlemagne is, and I am over him." If you're a Catholic, you are familiar with the Nicene Creed. But what you may not know is that the creed was formulated over two councils, the Council of Nicaea and the First Council of Constantinople, in an effort to combat the heresy of Arianism, which denied the divinity of Christ. The original creed said that the Holy Spirit, quote, proceeds from the Father, and with the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. Somewhere around the 6th century, the West added the Filioque, which is Latin for "and the Son." So in the West, the creed said that the Holy Spirit, quote, proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. The East objected to this addition, not so much on theological grounds, but rather by what authority did they have to add to what a council had decreed? And the answer was the Pope's authority. Now, the history books will tell you that this is when the East and West split. But like I said, this is more of a convenience than anything. Because it's hard to pinpoint an exact moment when the split happened, and since the East and West were together more than they were apart before this incident, and apart more than they were together after, historians settled on this date. So what happened? A dispute over whether leavened or unleavened bread should be used for the Eucharist. In the West, we use unleavened bread, bread without yeast that doesn't rise. But in the East, they use leavened bread, bread with yeast that rises, like the bread we buy at the store. In 1053, the Greeks, or what today is called the Orthodox churches, were forced to use unleavened bread in parts of Italy. In retaliation, the Patriarch of Constantinople ordered the closure of all Latin churches in Constantinople. The Pope sent a legate to Constantinople to discuss and settle the matter, led by Cardinal Humbert. After the legate arrived, the Bishop of Constantinople kept them waiting and would not see them. Finally, after being ignored for several days, Cardinal Humbert slammed a bull of excommunication on the altar of the Basilica of Hagia Sophia, where the Patriarch of Constantinople was celebrating the Easter Vigil. The Patriarch, in return, issued a counter-excommunication. It is important to note that only the men involved were excommunicated, not the churches, and though it certainly caused a major rift, no one at the time saw the East and West as divided. If this event is what separated the East from the West, then why didn't the lifting of these excommunications by Pope Paul VI and the Ecumenical Patriarch in 1967 reunify the churches? Eager to stop Muslim expansion and heal the growing rift between East and West, Pope Urban II launched the Crusades. However, cultural differences and expectations of behavior between the East and West made things worse. Atrocities happened on both sides, such as the massacre of the Latins in 1182, where tens of thousands of Latin Catholics were murdered and sold into slavery by the inhabitants of Constantinople. But the atrocity that is brought up in Catholic Orthodox dialogue is the siege of Constantinople in 1204. During the Fourth Crusade, Byzantine Emperor Alexius III was deposed in a coup. His nephew, Alexius, was imprisoned but escaped to the West. He told the Crusaders, who were heavily in debt to Venetian bankers, that he would pay off that debt if they went to Constantinople, overthrew the current emperor, and put him on the throne on their way to Jerusalem. The Pope was alerted of this and sent word to the Crusaders not to go to Constantinople, but to go to Jerusalem as planned. This fell on deaf ears, and the Crusaders went to Constantinople and installed Alexius as the Byzantine emperor. However, the coffers were not able to pay the debt. The Crusaders waited for Alexius to come up with something, but another coup deposed and killed Alexius, and the new emperor refused to pay the Crusaders and told them to leave, at which point they laid siege for 3 days on Constantinople, looting, pillaging, and killing an estimated 2,000 people. The Crusaders divided up most of the empire amongst themselves, although Constantinople was recaptured by the Byzantines and the empire reestablished in 1261, but the restored empire never reclaimed its territorial size or economic strength and was therefore much weaker. Why is this such an issue with the Orthodox? Well, you see, what the Catholic Church is always accused of by Protestants, that it's tied to the Roman Empire, that the emperor runs the church, appoints bishops, and tells the pope what to do, is actually not true for the Roman Catholic Church, but it is true for the Eastern Orthodox Church. The Roman or Byzantine Empire was intimately tied with the Orthodox Church, and the Orthodox believed that the siege of Constantinople helped bring about its demise. And that's probably true. So they see the Catholic Church as being partially responsible for the collapse of the empire. And while this is tragic, it has nothing to do with the Catholic Church. The Pope ordered the Crusaders not to go to Constantinople, and the Crusaders disobeyed. Two ecumenical councils were held in an effort to reunify the East and the West, the Second Council of Lyon in 1272 and the Council of Florence in 1439. In both cases, the East gave in to the demands of the West, agreeing to, for instance, the addition of the Filioque, or and the Son, to the Nicene Creed, and papal supremacy. Of course, they did not discuss papal infallibility. That wouldn't come up for another 400 years. But the East agreed to a very real, not just ceremonial, authority of the Pope over the entire Church. At Florence, they agreed to purgatory, and everyone signed the documents except for one Eastern bishop. In the case of both councils, the East would later revoke their agreements, the final being after Florence. This is the definitive break between East and West. It is these councils that convinced me that it is in fact the East that are in schism. Why? Because this is how the one true church established by Christ himself settles theological disputes, by holding a council in agreement with the successor of Peter, and the Holy Spirit guides that council to the truth. We see this in Scripture in Acts chapter 15, with the Council of Jerusalem. And those who do not accept the council are no longer part of the church. It happened with the Judaizers at the Council of Jerusalem, the Arians at Nicaea, the Coptic Church at Chalcedon. Why should it be any different here? And we have not one but two councils that were called to settle their disputes, and they agreed with the West. I'm sorry, but councils are no takebacks. At the Council of Florence, all the major players on the eastern side were there. The Byzantine Emperor John VIII attended in person, together with the Patriarch of Constantinople and a large delegate from the Byzantine Church, as well as representatives from all the Orthodox churches. And again, they agreed to purgatory, adding the Filioque, or and the Son, to the Nicene Creed, and papal supremacy in a very real sense, not just ceremonial. And this has been admitted by several Orthodox bishops. Now, the Orthodox have some interesting excuses as to why they revoked their agreement. The West forced their hand, for one, which there's no evidence of. All have to agree, and since there was one holdout, it voids the whole thing, which is not how any of the councils have ever worked. Every council had those who disagreed, including the seven councils that the Orthodox recognize. Some say when they got back home, the people objected to the agreement, so they had to revoke it. Well, I'm sorry, but that's not how this works. The church leaders decide, not the laity. But the most likely reason is that not long after the Council of Florence, the Byzantine Empire was conquered by the Ottoman Empire, and they forced them to revoke the council. The Sultan deposed the then current Patriarch of Constantinople and installed his own, who forced the others to revoke their agreement with the council, causing the East to leave the one true church. Of course, in a spiritual sense, all baptized Christians are in the church and members of the bodies of Christ. And the Orthodox have valid sacraments, so they're closer than the Protestants, so I'm not making a comment on anyone's individual salvation. But we agree, Christ established one visible church, and that church has to be one. It is in this sense I'm talking about. And in my mind, the councils of Second Lyon and Florence prove that the one church established by Christ is the Roman Catholic Church and not the Orthodox Church. Until my next video, God bless.